California, the 7th of January, 1974. It was exactly 40 years ago, on the first Sunday of 1934, when I was not quite 4 years of age, that my father began on the air. There was a program started by the FCC of equal time, in a sense, of representation for all faiths and religions as public service broadcast, which was even free time donated by radio in those days. Pastors all over Eugene, Oregon, were contacted by a local radio station and asked whether or not they would want to give a 15-minute devotional talk of some sort early in the morning. I think something like 6:15 or 6:30 in the morning. Finally, it came my father's turn, and when he did do that...
Ted Armstrong speaking from Anzio Nettuno in Italy. I'm in the middle of one of the large American military cemeteries. On top of the area where marked by a cross are these words: here rests in honored glory a comrade in arms known but to God. Stretching on all sides of me are huge long rows of mute white crosses of solid marble.
The World Tomorrow program is not only in the English language and does not only include on-the-spot radio programs and coverage of significant news events and some of the major assemblies of scientific conventions, political conventions, and others, but also is broadcast in other languages around the world. Let me give you a brief excerpt from each of these to show you a little bit. And by the way, I don't do the foreign language ones with the exception of being the announcer for the Spanish language broadcast. But here are the excerpts of our foreign language broadcasts.
Le monde à venir.
A bon entendeur, salut. Qu'est-ce donc que la vie?
Amici italiani, benvenuti. Che cosa volete dalla vita?
Die Welt von morgen.
Hier spricht Erhard Klammer. Ich begrüße Sie recht herzlich und bringe Ihnen wieder gute Nachrichten.
Saludos, amigos. He usado toda clase de drogas y narcóticos. Desde la marihuana.
I could actually only understand one of those, and that was the latter one. One of the most difficult programs I ever did in my life, though, was the one within about 5 minutes following the announcement that President Kennedy had been assassinated in Dallas. I was in Pasadena. I heard the news and rushed directly to a television set of one of the house mothers of the girls' dormitories, the closest ones, where a whole group of the ministers and the faculty members and I gathered around, thunderstruck, because we had been in a meeting, a manpower meeting, I think we called it, trying to come up with various assignments among ministers and others for this great worldwide work. And suddenly the switchboard called, interrupted that meeting, and said President Kennedy had been shot. We went to the nearest television set we could find. We watched with fascination, awe, disbelief, anger, and shock those events, as even the newsmen themselves were trying to make heads or tails of what had happened in Dallas. And just barely before 12 noon on the Pacific coast, I heard the words, "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States is dead," and then heard the national anthem. I was emotionally shaken by this. November 22nd, 1963. And I had to go directly into the radio studio and ad-lib a broadcast. Outraged as I was, not having all the facts, I too perhaps felt that we as a nation were guilty of a great collective national sin. Here's the way it was that November 22nd, 1963. And greetings, friends around the world. This is Garner Ted Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow, and the bad and the tragic news of this world today in these terrifying, tragic times in which we're living. The President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, is dead. Of the bullets of an assassin, a senseless, hideous, meaningless crime, just barely before I come on the air to give you this news today. And as the full import of this tragic and senseless act sinks into the national conscience of our peoples, can we begin to realize the immense proportions of these times? Can we begin to realize the frightening meaning? That broadcast, by the way, was so well received by millions of listeners across the United States that many, many thousands of telephone calls went into many different radio stations, among them some that aired that program twice without even charging for the time because they thought it had certain relevance. Perhaps I was feeling a little bit like the national conscience, but I think if you can remember very well your own feelings of that November 22nd, 1963, you can understand why. This next excerpt was an on-the-spot radio program done from a place very much in the news of recent date, the Golan Heights overlooking the Sea of Galilee in northern Israel. This was done on August 8, 1968, just a little more than a year after the Jew-Arab 67 Six-Day War.
and greetings from the Golan Heights. I'm standing atop a gun bunker, looking down a very precipitous slope past barbed wire. And right directly beneath me, almost, are the lagoons, a row of trees, and beautiful green fields of some of the Israeli kibbutzim, which were operating here and trying to grow crops right under the very gun muzzles of the Syrians who occupied these heights. Right behind me and approaching with a large Israeli army entourage is United Nations Special Representative George Ball, who only moments before we...
One of the most inspiring sights I've ever seen in my life was the liftoff of some of those giant Apollo missiles in the Apollo shots from Cape Kennedy. This next excerpt takes you to Cape Kennedy on May 16th, 1969.
And greetings from Launch Site 39 from the press site at Cape Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The wind is picking up, and I'm having to shield it with my hand to prevent wind blast on the microphone. Our cameras are running, and all eyes are poised on that giant bird over there. 36 stories of it, neatly smoking, fully loaded with liquid hydrogen, liquid oxygen. Its giant five first-stage engines are destined to begin in just a few seconds now. The countdown ignition sequence has started. Engines are on. We already see the flame, and there it goes, a huge blast of flame, and in a moment it's going to strike us with a giant shock wave. They have liftoff. I can just see the flame. There's a huge cloud of smoke that momentarily has obscured the missile. I cannot see it. The tower is clear. Now the shock waves begin to reach us here, and there it goes. A spectacular, stately, fantastic sight. A giant series of staccato rumbles booming this direction as the gallery behind me breaks into spontaneous applause. A little tiny thin cloud cover, flame now not visible. The missile again will be visible in just a few moments. It's a very thin little bank of cloud, shaking the ground all around me, rattling my pants legs, reverberating everywhere. Cameraman cranking it on up as that giant 36-story firecracker blasts its way off into space. And I find myself shaking here as the ground all around me is shaking. I'm shaking from excitement. It's difficult to look at the tail of that missile. It is as brilliant as the sun, so bright. It's almost impossible to look at it. I now see it very clearly in a big, bright blue hole as it's arching on up, bending over slightly. Now a vapor trail develops outside the cone as I still see the flame. Bending over ever so slightly downrange, the giant tongue of flame.
Well, there you have it, a brief resume of the World Tomorrow program, formerly called the Radio Church of God, back in the late 30s and early 40s. In a 40-year history of uninterrupted broadcasting on the air, I believe the World Tomorrow program in that time has become something of an institution in the United States, Canada, and for that matter, Australia, South Africa, and much of the rest of the world. If you want, at long last, if you're a long-time listener, to find out what's behind the World Tomorrow program, then you ought to write for your copy of the free booklet, This Is Ambassador College, and This Is the Worldwide Church of God. Those two booklets show you what is the college and what is the church that are behind this radio program. In the meantime, you ought to write for the current number, this January 1974 number of the Plain Truth magazine. Upcoming articles in the next issue will be A New Era of Peace, The New Vatican Role in the Middle East, Reconstructing 2,000 Years of History, a very vital article on Japan and her stake in the Middle East. And my father, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, is on his way from Japan with members of the Japanese Parliament to Kuwait, just about as I talk to you on this program now. So if you want current, in-depth, meaningful articles about the really important world affairs that matter, be sure to get your name on a mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine. For your free copies of these two booklets and the Plain Truth magazine, send your name and address to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. And so, until next time, and I hope it's not another 40 years from now, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. Or you may call toll-free 800-423-4444.